On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doug Kirby.
Well, here in the Buckle on the Bible Belt, one of the first opportunities that I had to speak with a Christian who was from a different denomination than me. I grew up Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I first came to Troy a long time ago. I was in a study group class, and one of my members of the class asked if I was a Christian. I said, yes. And she said, what do you think about the rapture? And I said, what's the rapture? At that point, all discussion stopped. And she proceeded to tell me that obviously I wasn't really a Christian because I didn't know about the rapture, and therefore I was in deep, deep trouble. I have found that this is not an unusual stance among people who believe in that particular, what is it, a premillennial dispensationalist. So instead of having me talk about this, I thought it would be even smarter to invite Dr. Brian Chappell, who is the president of Unlimited Grace Media, as pastor emeritus of the historic Grace Presbyterian Church in Peoria, Illinois, and as president emeritus of Covenant Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. His newest book, Are We Living in the Last Days? Four Views of the Hope We Share About Revelation and Christ's Return. It's from Baker Books, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Brian, thank you very much for joining us today on the Bookshelf.
Doc, thank you. I appreciate the introduction. That took almost our whole time.
Yes, thanks so much for calling. The fascinating thing is that when I opened your book and started reading it, I discovered that you too had walked into the same situation when you went to a new church, and immediately, apparently, word about your doctrine had preceded you because you began to get very pointed and curious and somewhat fearful questions about what did you think about it? But you had already been discussing and learning about all of these different viewpoints of last days before that, but that just kind of drove it home, didn't it?
It did, and it made me so zealous not to make sure my point was understood, but to understand why Christians differ and ultimately what unites them. So we don't have to be fighting one another because we haven't figured out the day and the hour. Instead, we can say, you know, even Jesus said he didn't know the day and the hour.
Yes, that's what I keep going back to. You know, when Jesus said, while he was on the earth, I don't know, then how can we think we will? But
I think we are to be prepared,
yes,
for the day and the hour, but not to claim that we know when it is.
Right.
So if you say, why are we supposed to have all this information about end times and last days? It's not so that we will figure out the size of the UFO in which the Antichrist arrives. It is ultimately so that we will be prepared for Christ's return. And even when we don't know the time, the day or the hour, by its explicit minute and second, here's what we are. We say, I know Jesus is coming back. And as hard as this world gets, as much pain as I may be going through, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to rescue his people from all this pain and horror. And because I know that, I'm strengthened for today, even as I have hope for tomorrow.
Now, see, this reassures me, because there are people who are kind of fearful because of the whole rapture thing, and they say, well, you know, I want to be careful. I'm not doing anything wrong when Jesus comes to pull us off the earth. And I say, well, that certainly is a good way to be thinking about things. But don't think that at that instant when he comes, that that's the only instant that counts. I said, what you have to really be thinking about is, what is my life like? Am I living in a manner that reflects Jesus and that draws people to Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the scriptures in which Jesus is saying, you know, what's going to happen before he returns? Well, wars and rumors of wars, nation turned against nations, famines and earthquakes, and I think, well, gee, all that's kind of happening now. But you know what? All that was happening last year, too. You know, all that was happening a century ago. All that was happening 2 centuries. So what was the purpose of Jesus saying all of that? Well, he told us that we would be ready, that we would be saying, no matter how bad it got, or, if you will, how affluent we got, so that we might be tempted to forget him, that we would be thinking, you know what, my Savior is coming back, these days will not go forever, so now that I am in the last days, and believe it or not, that is the biblical perspective, we are in the last days.
Right.
Because we're in the last days, we would be prepared. But, Doc, you're going to know, when we say last days, what so many people think about is the last of the last days.
Right.
They're thinking of that latest end times movie they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm,
you know, what you know, aliens come, or what wars occur, you know, in Israel or something. So that must, but actually, you know, at the time of Pentecost, the apostle says, in these last days.
Yeah.
You know, from a biblical perspective, there were the former days, that is, before Jesus came, and then there are the days in which Jesus came in this present evil age, and these are the last days. And that's said throughout the New Testament, that these are the last days, meaning there is no more major work of God that has to occur before it will be right for Jesus to return. Now, whether he returns tomorrow, next week, or 20 years from now, I don't know. But I know that he could be just and right and good and come in the next second as much as if he came 10 years from now.
Yeah.
He would still be right and good and just and ready. And so I'm supposed to be ready. So I, you know, I'm really not trying to debate people about if I've done my job well in these four views of Revelation that I present. If I've done my job well, you actually won't know what my view is. I'm trying to be respectful of everybody. Instead, I'm trying to say, hey, no matter which view you take, what unites all Christians? We all believe Jesus wins, and he's coming back in power and glory.
Right. And that is the most important thing. I think people get either anxious or get kind of excited when they think, well, things have never been this bad. And I want to tell them as gently as I can, things have been much worse than this for most of human history. Let's look at all of the wars that they fought in Europe, all of the wars that they fought in Asia, all of the wars they fought in the 20th century. If there was ever a time that looked like this is definitely an Antichrist, you had some really excellent candidates in Adolf Hitler and Tojo and Mao Zedong and Joe Stalin, and yet they weren't the Antichrist.
Well, and there were, as you well know, there were Christians in those nations in all of those times who thought this must be the Antichrist.
Right.
Because it's somebody who proclaims himself to be doing good while doing great, horrendous evil. But, you know, that has happened as far back as the lives of the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
That there were, you know, there was great evil. You know, no matter how you spell it in Aramaic or Greek or Latin, you know, there are arguments to be made for 666 representing Nero. Because many Christians at that time believed, well, this could be the Antichrist. He wasn't. He wasn't the ultimate Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist, the Apostle Peter says, is already among us.
Yeah.
And that was 2,000 years ago. But the Antichrist, and that's one of the things that unites all believers, we all believe that before Christ physically returns, that there will be somebody who parades as good before claiming to be divine, and ultimately doing the world's greatest evil. And there have been candidates for that in almost every age.
Yeah.
And so we have to say, but what's supposed to happen is Christians, when they see that great evil in a political world, a military figure, they're supposed to say, even if that's the Antichrist, Christ himself will rescue me.
Yeah.
So I am not going to despair as bad as it gets. And that's why we have those predictions, those preparations in Revelation, not so that we'll be despair or be afraid. Rather, we'll say there are road signs along the way to remind me every day, get ready. This could be the day my heart needs to be ready for my Savior.
We're talking, in case you're just joining us, to Brian Chappell, who is the author of Are We Living in the Last Days? Four Views of the Hope We Share About Revelation and Christ's Return. It's from Baker Books, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Let's talk about the traditional four views of the millennium. And first of all, we're going to have to define some terms as we go through this, because people who have been raised in a particular way of thinking about this probably have not heard about any other ways. And that's true for all four different ways and all the variations thereof, that if their church tradition, their denominational stance is one particular way, unless they have close friends or marry somebody from a different denomination or something, they're probably going to figure, well, this is the one that everybody thinks. That's kind of human nature too, right?
I like the way you said that. It's kind of like we get accustomed to what everybody around us thinks, and, well, that must be what everybody thinks.
Yeah.
But there have been four predominant, and by the way, there are more than four, but I'll say there are four predominant
Right.
Four predominant views at least in the last 200 years. And those four predominant views all circle around the word millennial. And in the Bible, there is what's called the millennium, 1,000 years of Christ's reign, that is his rule, his powerful rule upon the earth for 1,000 years. And everybody debates, all right, is that literal? Does Christ come and does he actually have 1,000 years in which he's sitting on a throne upon the earth? Or is that spiritual? I'm not going to say symbolic because that people will say, oh, well, now you're not really believing the Bible. But I'm saying, is it spiritual what Christ is talking about when he comes and reigns in our hearts or causes his people to rule in his stead, as it were? Do they enforce or live for Christ in such a way that he is present in this world? At any rate, there are four views around the millennium. And one view is called premillennial view, and that says Christ comes back before the 1,000-year reign on earth. So he's got to come to earth before he reigns on earth. And there's two views of that. One's called dispensational, and one is called historic. And the dispensational premillennial view says not only does Christ come back before 1,000 years of his rule upon earth, but the church that precedes that 1,000 years, the church age that we're in, the Old Testament prophets didn't know about. They thought that when the Messiah came, he was going to rule upon the earth, and they did not foresee what's called the age of parenthesis, the church age, in which the gospel would spread upon the nations. In other words, the Old Testament gospel, the Old Testament prophets were Jewish, and therefore dispensational premillennialists think the Old Testament prophets wrote for the Jews. And when Christ came the first time, he extended the gospel to all nations, and the prophets didn't know that was going to happen. So Jesus had to kind of hold up on prophecy for a while until he comes again from heaven in that secret rapture that you were talking about. That's when all the people disappear from the 747s, according to the movies.
Right.
And then Jesus rules upon the earth for 1,000 years, before there's a great battle called Armageddon, and then Jesus ultimately defeats Satan, and there's a final resurrection in which there's the judgment of the living and the dead, and then the eternal heavens and earth. Now, that's called dispensational premillennialism. There's another view called historic premillennialism. That view says, no. The Old Testament prophets knew that the church was coming. After all, Abraham would be a father of many nations, and he would be a blessing to many nations. And David's kingdom, when he came, would be, when the Messiah came, would be a universal as well as an eternal kingdom. So there are those who say, yeah, Christ will come again and rule on the earth, but it's after the church has been established and the gospel preached to all nations, and then Christ comes to rule upon the earth with those who now believe in him. And that's called historic premillennialism. But that's still, both those views say, Christ coming is out in the future somewhere. There's another view called amillennialism. And a in Latin means what? Without. And,
right.
And some people say, so there's no millennial. No, actually what they mean is now millennium. They were already in the millennium. And you say, no, that's not what the movies say. Well, an amillennialist would say, well, when Jesus came, he crushed Satan because he died for our sins upon the cross, and in doing so, he defeated the reign of Satan. It will be completed when Christ comes again, but he's already defeated Satan. So that we're already in the millennium in which the gospel is spreading across the nations according to the spiritual victory of Christ. And that view is called amillennium. And then there's one more. What's it going to be, Doc? You remember?
We have the post-millennial view.
And what does that teach? I think of it kind of like the motorcycle rider going up the hill, right? Things are going higher and higher, getting better and better and better. That's the post-millennial view. It says we're in the millennium now, but things are getting better and better and better all the time until they get so good that we will usher in the kingdom of God in the ultimately the new heavens and the new earth. But that is saying that Christ comes after things have gotten so much better in what's called a golden age of the prospering of Christ's kingdom. So in a post-millennial view, what you're saying is, yeah, we're not going to wait someday for the millennium to come. Rather, Christ comes after the millennium that we're already in as things are improving. And,
right.
Of course, lots of people say, it doesn't seem like they're improving. But we would say, no, it's compared to what? We're still not slaughtering, as it were, Christians on crosses. We are not experiencing slavery to the same extent that we once did. We are not doing horrible things to women and children who don't fulfill our expectations the way we once did. So, yeah, things are still awful, but they're getting better, says a post-millennialist.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they'll get so good that Christ will be ushered back in. So those would be the four views. And my goal in the book on, are we living in the end times are we living in the last days, is to say not just what is different about these four views, what's the same? What actually unites Christians throughout all the ages, across all the nations? What actually makes us love each other as brothers and sisters, even though we may have some different millennial views? And that's the goal of my book, is saying, what do we all hold together?
Right. And you, after you talk about all those different versions of the end times, the last days, you lay it out. And I will say that one of the things that makes the post-millennial thinking was enormously popular, let's say, a century and 20 years ago.
Yes.
At the turn of the last century, that was the prevalent view of most Christians, particularly in America, because
right.
our country was getting better and better. People were dying of horrible diseases less and less. And folks said, you know what? In every way, in every day, we're getting better and better. And pretty soon, we'll be so good that Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Here I am to rescue everybody.
And then there was this little thing called what? World War One.
And it just went downhill from there.
And then World War Two.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like things were getting better and better.
Yeah. Suddenly those wildly optimistic hopes were dashed, and we had the most destructive century in the history of the world. And then at the turn of the last century, we thought, okay, communists are behind us. Everything's great. And then the war on terror. So actually, I guess this also says that whichever of the viewpoints you hold to or have been taught, there are going to be things, if you're basing them on what's going well in the world or what's going poorly in the world, those things are going to change every day, because that's
yep.
just human nature. Like you said before, the idea is be ready, realize it's imminent, Christ is coming at any moment, and so be prepared for that. So don't despair, no matter how bad things get, because Christ is coming back.
And what you said is another one of those commonalities. So let's just, you said the words. One commonality of all Christian views through the centuries has been the imminent return. And by that I mean everything that needs to happen before Christ returns has happened. Now, you say, no, we haven't had the Antichrist. Well, we did have Stalin, we did have Hitler, so maybe people certainly thought they were the Antichrist. God would be faithful if he came in the next moment. There would be enough of his predictions of the end times and the last days to have been fulfilled. Enough things that would fit the explanations that God would be faithful to send Christ in this next moment. But if he waits 20 years, then we recognize, well, the Antichrist, who is the final Antichrist. We may have thought it was Stalin. We may have thought it was Hitler. We may have thought it was Mao Zedong. But that wasn't the right one. That was the spirit of the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Those were precursors of the Antichrist. But obviously, they are not the final Antichrist. But every view says that there will be someone who comes who claims to be very, very good until he actually takes the position of being divine and then uses that to do great evil, betraying many Christians and, as it were, convincing many people that he is divine, when he's not the Christ at all, he's the Antichrist. But all the views hold that there will be this great evil personage, this man of perdition. You know, Paul says in the book of Thessalonians, he says, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he says, this one will come, and then the end. And that one has not seemed to come yet, But if he came tomorrow, you would say, oh, was it Xi Jinping? Was it the Putin in Russia? I don't know. But God knows. And Christ could come tomorrow. Our goal is to be prepared, because we know that we don't despair when somebody appears to be the Antichrist, because that is the precursor to the real Christ.
Right, right. For people who are absolutely convinced that the premillennial dispensationism is the only one that strictly adheres to the biblical timetable, without getting into a fistfight with them about it, for all of these views, they're interpretational things. And honestly, one of the things that we have to remember when we read the Bible is that it was not written originally to us, but God knew that we would see it. There were people that it was being written to the first time, and they were being written to in a different language than English. And to understand the Bible is to realize that the culture in which they were written and to whom they were written is different than our culture, which is, and rather than being so family-centric as it was then, is individualistic, say. Mm-hmm. I don't think Peter one time said that you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or any of those other kind of nomenclatures to be saved, that you don't have to be immersed rather than sprinkled, or that you have to be this rather than that. He didn't really get into those kind of things that it seems to me, we kind of waste a fair amount of time arguing about.
Well, the things that I have wanted again to say that are so important, why are we told over and over again in the Bible, these are the last days, is so that we will be trusting Christ, not ourselves, not our merit, not our goodness, but we will be trusting his provision for us, and that we will not lose hope in the hard times. And so will there be an Antichrist? Yes, the Bible clearly says that. There will be somebody who deceives a lot of people, but we don't lose hope then. Why? Because that's the precursor to the coming of Christ. Is there a rapture? You and I were talking about that, I think, when we lost a little time on air.
Yes.
Every view holds that there will be a rapture. Now, they don't all hold there will be a secret rapture, that people will be secreted away out of the 747s and the plane will crash because the pilot was in heaven and everybody else was left. Now, maybe that will happen. Maybe they're right. But whether they are right or not right in saying that will happen, every view holds that there will be a time at which Jesus returns to sweep up people to himself, to lift them up to himself before the end, when there's the judgment of the living and the dead. Now, people say, oh, no, there'll be 1,000 years from the rapture until the judgment. Well, maybe that's right. But everybody holds there will be a rapture before there is a judgment, that Christ will lift up his people to himself, and there will be judgment following that. So, again, my reason for writing this is to say, let's not have the fist fight. Now, I'm not saying these things are unimportant.
Right.
Because they're in the Bible to prepare us. So we may have different views of when we're being prepared. But, you know, that dispensational view that you're talking about, you know, Christians went for almost 2,000 years before that view even appeared.
Right.
You know, and so I've said, well, were there 2,000 years of Christians who aren't going to heaven because they didn't believe the right thing? No. No. Even if they didn't believe the right thing about the rapture, what they did believe was Jesus was their Savior.
Right.
And that's the necessary thing.
Right. Those are the essentials. You break them down very easily, and we agree the Bible is the Word of God. We agree Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We agree he rose from the dead. We agree the Holy Spirit indwells all true believers. We agree suffering and persecution will intensify in the last days. We agree there's a rapture of some kind and a second coming of Christ, and that we will be transformed at the rapture, and that God will judge the living and the dead, and the last days will usher in the new heaven and new earth. On those critical things...
Well, if you believe that, you're my brother, Doc.
Yeah, yeah. All these critical
exactly.
things that you enunciate, those are the critical things.
Yeah.
Everything else is just details. That's like arguing, are we going to be naked in heaven and not care? Are we going to have gender in heaven or not? Are we going to have this or that? Well, all those jokes we've heard about there'll be a big house for the politician because he's the first one to be there, and the 10 minutes for the pastors because there's so many of them there. All of those things we'll find out, and it won't matter a bit. You know,
I think when we are in glorified bodies in a glorified earth, that we won't care a bit.
Yeah. I must admit, I've been reading some really interesting books recently about Genesis and Eden and the idea that the new heaven and new earth that God will recreate at the end times, that it's like Eden is restored and that's the new earth. And I thought, well, you know, that makes sense. If he's going to make all things new, that would work. And if that's the case, then great.
Again, if you talk about what unites Christians, no serious-minded Christian throughout history says, you know what heaven is? It's where Christians sit on clouds playing harps.
Exactly.
what every Bible understanding Christian has taught through the ages is heaven is earth made perfect.
Yeah.
It's not just Eden. It's better than Eden. And in that perfected world, Christ's glory will be seen everywhere, every day, and we will live in it eternally with bodies made perfect, with loved ones surrounding us, and with Christ holding us. And I'm a fisherman. I don't know if you like to fish or anything, but I think, man, the best trout stream I've ever been in. And of course, you don't eat the trout, but you'd cast them right back in and catch them, whatever it is.
Yeah,
but, you know, the most beautiful, the most glorious sunset that you've ever seen times 1,000.
Right.
And for 1,000 years times 10,000.
Yeah. It will be better than Eden because it will be absolutely incorruptible.
Yeah.
You know, there will be no more sin. There will be no more temptations of any kind. All those things will pass away. And therefore, it will continue to be absolutely perfect, and Christ will be there in the midst with us.
Right.
What
and
could
the reason
be better?
And the reason I wrote, are we living in the last days, is not so that we'll just focus on, you know, tanks on the battleground of Armageddon being blown up by UFOs.
Right.
It's really saying, are we living in the last? The biblical answer is yes. We are living in the last days. We are in the final age of Christ rescuing his people. That is what the Bible clearly said, even on the day of Pentecost. What did Peter preach? These are the last days. And everything that needs to happen before Christ rescues us eternally has happened. Now, it doesn't mean that the plan is going to happen tomorrow, but everything that needs to have occurred for God to be faithful to his people has occurred. And that's why you used the term before, the imminent appearing. We believe that Christ could come any day, and we prepare through the worst of days, the hard days, the despairing days, by believing, things will be made right, all the sad things will prove untrue, and Christ will come and rescue me. And that gives me hope and strength even on the hard days.
Yeah, amen to that. If people want to connect with you, you have social media outlets and sites and everything. Do we want to mention any of those?
Sure, just briannchappell.com. Brian with a Y and chapel like a church, briannchappell.com. And the book is called Are We Living in the Last Days? And you get that in lots of places like Amazon. You might have heard about it.
Yeah.
But Are We Living in the Last Days? And it's really just trying to show people our shared hope. And not create the fist fight, but rather to say, how can we lock arms in encouragement and preparation for Christ's return?
There are, by the way, 4 very cool illustrations in here. I'm not sure if Brian drew them himself or if somebody added them to it. But they kind of give the timeline of each of those end-time possibilities in a very simple way. So that if you're trying to explain yours to someone else who may not share it, You can see the similarities, and you can also see these minor differences, and it's just a really excellent book to get going on a dialogue about these things, and in such a way that it encourages to talk to each other and not walk away angry.
Well said, thank you, Doc. It's been good to talk to you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about are we living in the last days and then rejoice that we are.
Yes, indeed. Brian, thank you so much for making time to be with us today on The Book Show.
You bet. Thank you so much.
And our thanks again to Dr. Brian Chappell, president of Unlimited Grace Media and author of Are We Living in the Last Days? Four Views of the Hope We Share About Revelation and Christ's Return. It's from Baker Books, a division of Baker Publishing Group. Like Brian said, it's available at your favorite bookstore and online. Until next time, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Check out my podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. Until next time, thanks for listening and God bless.